time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
So good to be with you all. Thank you so much for dialing in and joining us in another podcast about what's going on in the mortgage industry. We are excited about this podcast. We're going to be focusing in on the digital mortgage, what's going on in the industry. And in the Hot Topic segment today, we're going to have a number of guests. We've got Jim Park, CEO of TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative. We've got Brian Fitzpatrick with Loan Logics, the CEO and the chairman of the Digital Mortgage Alliance Committee, as well as David Caldwell from LendingQB. We've got Greg Kovutin, Blend Business Development, and we also have Craig Pollack from Social Survey. They're going to be all in the Hot Topic segment. We pre-recorded that just so we could get it down. There's a lot of great information in there, so you're going to want to stay tuned for the Hot Topic segment. Want to say a special shout out to one of our listeners. We've got Will from Jacksonville, Florida, joining in. He works with Coast to Coast Mortgage. And we always love it when our listeners dial in a little early and we turn on their microphones and get to talk to them for a little bit. He's done a great job of playing off his name, Will. So if you're in the mortgage business, you have the first name, Will. What do you think you'd say? If there's a will, there's a way to get your loan done. So anyway, Will, glad to have you here, friend. Appreciate you. One of our newer listeners and has made a commitment to dial in. I was talking to Tammy of Fannie Mae. If you guys haven't gone back and listened to that podcast from probably a month ago now, where we had the Fannie Mae Fab Four, as we call them, Beth Milstein and her group all on, Tammy was telling me and Christy was telling me that how they have now made this a regular habit. And they said, we listen to you periodically, but now we never miss it. So big shout out to the Fannie Me Fab Four and them promoting, and of course, all of y'all. As we say here in Texas, thank you all y'all for telling everyone about the podcast. Really appreciate it. So this is the July 16th podcast, and it's Monday in beautiful Central Texas. A special thank you goes out to our sponsors. We have so many of them. We're grateful to have them here as sponsors. We have the MBA, and specifically, we want to focus on the Mortgage Action Alliance. We're going to hear more about it, but go Google that, Mortgage Action Alliance, MBAA, and get signed up for that. Also, big shout out to Arch MI, the creator of the innovative RateStar program, as well as Black Knight, leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions, and Open Mortgage, that is just down the road from Andy Shell's there in Austin area. They've got a great reverse mortgage program, and if you're looking for ways in which you can gain more income, you got to look at reverse mortgages. And if you're looking at LOs for a good home, you got to check out reverse mortgage. They got a great place to work with some great programs, with some great pricing, and even better, they've got great processes. We're working with them on their processes. I can brag about that. CardTap, we're grateful to have them as a sponsor, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these collaboratives are places where you can become a member and meet industry leaders up close and personal. It has been just an outstanding, both of these organizations are outstanding. We're thrilled to have them and their partnership. And of course, the Mortgage Collaborative is the Mortgage Action Alliance is our special guest today. Also, Velma, the efficient mortgage marketing and email platform. Our friend Brent Emler there. Appreciate those guys, as well as KnowledgeCoop, Ken Perry and Nathan, the whole team there at KnowledgeCoop are just hilarious, and they do some great videos. Check it out. Hear more about that a little bit later. And then also Tim Slyker for Broad Street Consulting, Vidyard for the best program on how to record videos and share them. Predictive is a company that helps you make more money through intelligent marketing. Pay-per-click marketing, and it's amazing. We're getting them turned on and set up with several of our clients. We're getting some good reports on it. Also, and finally, a special thank you to Alice, Joe, Andy, Alan, and everyone who makes this program possible. Let's get off to connect with Rob Van Rapport, see what he has for us with the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA met with Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection leadership to discuss the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, or HMDA. MBA urged the Bureau to do three things. One, re-examine certain HMDA reporting requirements, namely those that exceed Dodd-Frank statutory amendments. Two, exempt business-to-business loans secured by multifamily from HMDA reporting. And three, delay publication of data collected in 2018 until it conclusively addresses its intended publication policy. Also last week, MBA joined 21 other stakeholders in a letter urging Congress to reauthorize the National Flood Insurance Program ahead of the July 31st, 2018 deadline. And finally, MBA's mortgage application survey showed that the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage decreased 3 basis points to 4.76%. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me on the Mortgage Minute.
Yeah, good job, Rob. Check out their videos, too. You can see it at the MBA's website. They got some great stuff. Rob is doing a great job along with the whole team there at the MBA. Really appreciate our relationship and friendship with the MBA. Also, Alice will give us a little update. God, he brought up a couple things there that are going to be real interesting. Can't wait to have Alice touch base on that. Let's run over to our good friend Les Parker, the TM Spotlight. And it's a soundbite on what's going on in the markets on our macro basis. Check it out. You can sign up for this newsletter and get it each week. And there's three versions, one of which you can pick up. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. If you're a secondary marketing manager, want to communicate out to your people what's going on, got a great newsletter. But let's hear what Les has to say.
LoanLogic sponsors TM Spotlight Soundbite. Since you've been gone, I can breathe for the first time. Now soft Brexit's on. Thanks to you, now I can get what I want. Since pro-Brexit cabinet members are gone, British Prime Minister May gets what she wants, a Brexit with close economic ties. But she may get more than what she bargained for as the battle of Brexit intensifies. The British pound rallied into the rumor of soft Brexit and now is flirting with a potential bear market. The pound's trouble strengthens the dollar, which pressures emerging markets into a debt crisis. Yet boredom reigns in the treasuries, with market malaise and mushy soft Brexit. With the mortgage rates creeping lower, thanks to EU turmoil, bulls get what they want. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Good job, Les. I love that. And you could sign up for his newsletter. Now, one of the things that more and more secondary marketing executives are needing to do is communicate more effectively with their people what's going on and why create it every single time. Les has got a service whereby you can, for a flat fee, get his newsletter. It's written in a way that loan officers will understand it. You'll find it extremely valuable. And it comes out as if you wrote it. So check it out. Let's see, a couple conferences I forgot to tell you about we've got coming up. I'm speaking in Chandler, Arizona at the Arizona Mortgage Expo, as well as on August 24th on my birthday. I'll be speaking at the Originator Connect at the Planet Hollywood Conference. Write me. I've got a promotion code that you can sign up, and you get free registration as a result of that. But I want you to email me to get that. But anyway, get it. Check it out. If you're in Las Vegas or want a break, want to come to a great loan origination conference and hear a group of us, you'll want to check out Originator Connect. You check out all these conferences at mortgageconferences.com. All right, let's get on over to our friends at Open Mortgage. And, you know, one of the things that they're doing that I like and which we encourage all of our sponsors to do is create content that educates, not just advertises services, but educates what they're doing. So let's listen to the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of science. Are you likable? If you're like me, you're thinking, yes, of course I am. And if I'm not, what does it matter as long as I do a good job? Failing to understand the importance of likability is a mistake many professionals make. Studies show that being likable is far more important than competence, both in the office and outside of it. We like people that are similar to us. We like people that compliment us. And we like people that cooperate with us. When creating new relationships, engage in meaningful small talk and mine for personal information. Ask potential customers about their families in ways that relate to their purchase or mortgage needs. When meeting a realtor, do a quick Google search. Plan some questions you can ask casually. Find one or two specific traits or details to compliment. But remember, compliments must be TSP, true, specific, and positive. To get customers or realtors to open up for small talk, appear to be similar to them. Try mirroring. If you hear a phrase or see a mannerism, try adopting it during the course of your conversation. This will help build rapport and allow for a relaxed conversation. Sound too good to be true? It's not. It's just the science of sales.
Check it out. He's got a whole bunch of videos out. Go to openmortgage.com and also go to openmortgage.com/tips. And you'll see all of the videos up there. Great company. Again, check them out. Got a reverse mortgage program. Allows you to make some more money than just the regular programs. It's a great way to make some decent money. I mean, anyway, get into all of that. But do check out their website. And also, it's a great home for loan officers. You can broker loans to them, or you can go to work with them directly. Check it out, openmortgage.com. Joe Farr, my friend, how are the markets behaving? I haven't been so busy this morning. My conference call started at 7 o'clock this morning with the East Coast client. So what's up?
Well, early this morning, retail sales came out. The market reacted to a better-than-expected retail sales number by falling a bit, and falling MBS prices mean yields are rising. And so mortgage rates today are just slightly higher than they would have been on Friday. But the retail sales numbers were really better in May than they were as previously reported. So most of the reaction came from revisions to May data. The June numbers were pretty good, though. In fact, they matched expectations, and you know, using the May data, that means they were really better than expectations. And so, looking at ex auto, June numbers were pretty much as expected. But MBS prices fell on the data. They've since recovered some. And so we're not at the lows of the day. And nice report that the Trump-Putin summit did not have much effect. It didn't have much effect on stocks or bonds, to be quite honest. So sitting a little bit lower right now, Dave.
Sitting lower.
So looking at last week, the tariff announcements caused some volatility, but there really was not a lot of movement last week. The economic data pretty much matched expectations. JOLTS was released last week, and it did show a small decrease in job openings, but it was still a pretty good report in that it showed a very high quit rate, and a quit rate is a sign of employee confidence and the willingness to leave a job because they expect to get a new job. So all in all, the JOLTS report was a positive look at the U.S. economy. PPI came out last week along with CPI. Core PPI rose as expected. To note, tariffs are going to have some effect on PPI first and then ultimately on CPI. CPI came out matching expectations with another small increase in prices. Consumer sentiment came out on Friday, and it was the lowest it's been in 6 months. So it did have a small effect on MBS prices.
So good.
Yeah. This week, Chairman Powell is going to be delivering his semiannual report on monetary policy. Calendar I saw showed a report to the Senate on Tuesday, but ordinarily he makes the trip across the Capitol to the House on the next day, and last I looked, that had not been scheduled. So I don't know what's up with that, but ordinarily it does follow on the next day. Industrial production comes out tomorrow, which is a big economic indicator. The home builders index also comes out tomorrow, so we'll see how they're feeling. Housing starts comes out on Wednesday, and then, as has been the case in the last few weeks, tariff talks are going to continue to have some impact on the markets. Reaction to the Trump-Putin summit, may create some movement, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Joe, appreciate you taking the time to come on in and be here with us. You've been here since the beginning. I love that. So nice to have consistency, and you're consistently bringing us good updates. Appreciate it. All right, folks. Well, we're going to be right back after a quick break with our friends from Knowledge Coop, and then we're going to get in and listen to what Alice Alvey has for us.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Cube, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Good job, Nathan. Appreciate you guys up there. Say hi to all our friends. They're in the Portland, Oregon area, but they're just across the Columbia River. They're in Camas, Washington, and it's always good to have them. I always love connecting with that group anytime I'm in the Pacific Northwest. Anyway, Alice, Alvy, good to have you here. We were looking for you a little early. I know you got meetings. You're a busy lady these days. Since you stopped running around and doing all the speaking and training, now you're just at one place and busier than ever.
Well, this time I was just trying to get my phone charged up and trying to get the power working. So, you know how that is. One cord doesn't work, yeah. One plug. I'm going, seriously? So, anyway, here I am. Glad to be here. Right. For this particular show, I thought it would be good to circle back and just make sure everyone's aware of what are the things we care about in the mortgage industry that were part of the regulatory relief bill that was signed into law in May. Before I jump to that, I just wanted to point out to everyone, as was mentioned in the Mortgage Action Alliance update from MBA, the Flood Insurance Reform Act is due to expire July 31st, which by that point, only the Senate is in session. So if you look at the congressional calendar, the House is only in session now for Monday through Thursday for the last 2 weeks of this month. The Senate is still there only on Fridays. And then the Senate is there where July 30th and 31st, beginning of the week and into August. So we can't get anything done unless it literally happens by a presidential extension, which we got in March. So right now we're living off of a 120-day extension that President Trump already gave us because it really expired back in March. Maybe we'll either get an extension from the president or Congress will actually do something about it. But when you look at the calendar, they would have to have their act together right now. So I do urge everybody to let their congressman know they have to resolve this and give us a permanent extension. And there was not should not be a partisan issue. So anyway, that's one key thing. Then the second thing about the regulatory reform, a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, this already in effect today is that there's the 3-day waiting period would not be triggered if the borrower is given a lower APR. I think a lot of lenders were already in that camp. I just want to remind folks, when we say what's the list of this regulatory reform law that we should be paying attention to, check that one out so you're not unnecessarily redisclosing. We can send you a link if you're not sure where to find it. The second component is that the BCFP, oh my gosh, that is just so hard to get used to say.
I know, me too. CFPB, BCFP.
Right. Just got used to CFPB. BCFP needs to provide clarity for us on mortgage assumption transactions, construction to permanent, and a few other things. So we're going to be watching that the CFPB, BCFP actually comes out with those requirements as mandated by the law. If you're a small community bank or credit union, you will have some leeway as far as being able to be exempt from QM for your portfolio lending. So a lot of those small community banks, portfolio loans, trying to fit in the QM box and have a safe harbor, it's a big deal. So there is, as part of this law, you will get, if you're below $10 billion in assets, fewer than 1,000 transactions and a few other criteria, and you don't normally establish escrow accounts, you don't sell your portfolio, all that starts to mean you can fall into a safe harbor if you simply follow Appendix Q. Another key component in the law that's important, I think for our manufactured home folks, is they did get their carve out that the administrative side for their business does not have to be licensed under the SAFE Act. The way everything was worded, it was a little tough for manufactured home, companies and manufacturers, some of their staff was getting looped into the SAFE Act, and that made no sense at all. So glad that's out. Probably the biggest one everybody wanted to know about was transitional licensing. That's not going to become effective until November 24th of 2019. So it was 18 months from when the law came about to when this will be effective. So we've got a long window here. We'll be watching that the NMLS is actually getting the programming done that they need and that each of the states are falling on in line with this without any additional requirements at the state level. So we do have to watch that one. A couple other things, exemption from appraisals for rural properties. by, again, the smaller community banks when they've tried to find an appraiser and they can't. So that was the other thing on the list. And probably the next biggest thing we talked a little bit about on one of our shows, Dave, was the credit score competition piece and making sure that the credit scores that we were able to get the Vantage score included, that they can actually apply. So this law has things spelled out for both Fannie and then repeated again for Freddie, that there has to be some competitiveness within the credit score model, and the Vantage Score group has a chance to apply. So that process should begin shortly. Yeah, well, we'll see some improvements in the credit scoring, and Fannie and Freddie and FIFA are required to address it. So now that it's law, they can't walk around it. One of the things I missed first time around in the law was that there is a piece about credit freezes. So as you know, today, if I'm a vet and I sent overseas, I can put a freeze on my credit report. If I feel there's been fraud on my report, I can file a freeze. Well, that was a 90-day freeze, and this made it law that you could have a one-year freeze if you wanted. So there was a small little component that snuck in there. And one last thing for, where did I put it? Compliance officers. It's a piece that was put in there for those of you who are the ones who have to file SAR reports. They made it very clear that if you feel there are senior citizens who are being exploited as a result of the financing, so maybe it wasn't a fraud piece, but it was more just exploitation, high rates, other issues that can have come about, in particular with sometimes reverse mortgages, not always, but in really any type of financing, I suppose, that if you're the SAR, you aren't held liable for it. So just kind of loop that piece in for compliance officer protection. So I thought we finally got a chance to scrub the law. And there's a big section on returning capital to the market. We didn't get into that. But as far as those of us who say, was the law impactful? That's the list. I'll let you all decide if you think that really changes the way you're doing business every day. But that's the list, Dave. I'll turn it back to
that's
you.
It. Good job. Appreciate it, Alice. This whole flood insurance thing, I'm sure we'll get an extension on it. But, man, why are they not thinking about that, focusing on that? That's so important. So need to get your voice heard. And that's one of the advantages. You use that app. Do you use the app that the Mortgage Action Alliance puts out?
Yeah.
On your phone. That is a powerful app, isn't it? It's really good. Very effective
Absolutely.
Way to get
easy
your word
use.
Out. It's so easy to use. Sign up for it. If Alice is using it, I can use it. You can use it, folks. Anyway, the KPI of the week, this week from Motivity Solutions, from John Maynell. John, what you got?
Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. And the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
Check it out, Motivity Solutions. They got a whole bunch of wonderful tools for monitoring. What gets measured gets results. They're part of the Black Knight family of companies. Alan Pollock is out. Normally we'd be giving us an update, but he did send in his pre-recorded comments, and there's an interesting announcement. So another merger just took place. Listen to what Alan has to say. Alan?
David, what a great day. Today I'm in OBX, Outer Banks, North Carolina. I'm on some R&R. It just so happens I'm with a few mortgage industry friends, and since our wives told us absolutely no work talk, and I had to record this segment, I decided to bring the technology talk to my segment this week. I'm with Rich Pilney from LoanLogix. But before we talked to Rich, last week we talked about the jalapeno jelly jam. Well, I had a few people reach out to me that I'm going to look for somebody who's willing to put a link on our site so anyone that wants some jelly jam can get some. But David, this is what I wanted to share. Optimal Blue. For those of you that know me, I've been involved in a few mortgage technology software solutions, and being a co-founder in a pricing engine, NYLEX, New York Loan Exchange, I've had a lot of appreciation for how much work it takes to become or offer and maintain a pricing engine. And so news around the growth of Optimal Blue has not only been good for the industry, but it's been very interesting for me. In the last few weeks, I mentioned some news about them and how I think their angle on the market as a pricing engine has been quite interesting. Well, just this past week, they announced that they acquired ResiTrader, creating the industry's largest mortgage loan trading platform, combining and expanding their network of buyers and sellers, supporting, David, you ready, $750 billion of transactions. ResiTrader, for those of you that don't know, they allow buyers and sellers and advisors to transact in real time and auction process and replace the widely used method of exchanging bid tapes via email. And for those of you that exchange bid tapes via email, you know how hard it is to actually crack those tapes, find viable information. Also, David, I wanted to mention PwC. They recently conducted an exclusive consumer study, an analysis of over 1,600 prospective borrowers nationwide to take a look at what they think of home lending, their experience in the mortgage process. So what they found during that process is a number of items, scheduling and communication, and these items are the tools, David, mortgage affordability and calculators, loan status portal, saving and planning, educational tools, and lastly, application and document submission tools. Simply put, the article talks about how lenders who offer high-quality digital tools have higher customer satisfaction. PwC's report, it's called The Digital Mortgage 2.0, A Paradigm Shift in Consumer Experience. If you want to check it out, we'll provide that link. Also, Equity Resources recently launched what they call Equity 247. It's a digital mortgage platform built to elevate the consumer lending experience when buying a home or refinancing, and they're offering borrowers the ability to apply, get updates, keep track of a to-do list, upload documents from their phone or mobile computer. All right, let's get to the good part of my segment today, David. I wanted to talk about data breaches and my good friend Rich Pilney. If you head over to securityintelligence.com, or if you're an avid reader, you'll read that you're more likely to experience a data breach of at least 10,000 records, only 27.9%, more than you are to catch the flu this winter, which is only 5 to 20%, according to WebMD. And as in the case of the flu, of course, it's crucial to act quickly and seek a cure for a speedy recovery. This article is called The Bigger the Breach, the Higher the Cost. The report found that, you know, a breach would range at a small size, less than 10,000 records, around $2.2 million. And of course, anything over 10,000 or 50,000 records, more specifically, $6.9 million. So Rich and I were at the pool today, and we were talking about data breaches, and I thought it'd be a great idea to have him come here and talk for a couple minutes. So with that, I want to introduce everyone to Rich Pilney. He's been working with me since 2000. Rich is a master at software infrastructure, database security, and systems like that.
Hey, Alan. I really appreciate you having me on. Name is Rich Pilney, and I've been in the mortgage finance technology industry for over 15 years. And yes, biggest concerns and what makes me lose sleep at night is information security. I am heavily involved on the security side of the business, involving well-known terms like SOC 1, SOC 2, topics like OWASP Top 10, running security penetration tests, you name it. Just a few years ago, the terms security and the cloud did not seem to mix well, but that has changed in recent years as mortgage and financial companies have embraced not only the cloud, but also cloud security. Some of the larger scale attacks that recently happened and made the news are not because some company didn't have the best firewall or the top antivirus. It is usually because of something super simple. Example, we have incidents where administrative credentials are sitting out there in a public repository or database. These are things that can be easily prevented. Back to what keeps me up all night. You probably heard on the news, Twitter made the headlines because they were storing credentials in plain text. They had all the necessary security tools in place, and yet they were still breached. My advice is to not overlook the simple things. Limit any public exposure for any tools that your employees might be using. If you can make any environment or application private with your own company or your vendors, please do so. I know this was quick. Alan, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate you having me and love to do this again sometime.
Rich, I appreciate that. David, that's my report for today. I am R&R in Outer Banks. Talk to you soon.
I was writing notes on that segment as fast as I could. So great information there, Alan. Hope you enjoy. I know he'll listen back in on this. So I hope you are enjoying or enjoyed your vacation, friend. Yeah, pay attention to your wife. Put away the cell phone. I don't know about how that works for you, but I find myself sneaking off and peeking at that darn device a little bit more than I should ought have. Anyway, let's get over to Jim Jump, who gives us an update on what's happening there at ArchMI. Jim, what you got?
Hi, David. ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Good job. Appreciate the guys there. I mean, I look at our industry and all the industry participants in there, and you find people that you really connect with. I've connected so well with the senior team. Go back and listen to David Gansberg that we had on with Arch MI. A lot of great information there. Really, really good. Andy Schell, making another icon in the industry, also known as the Profit Doctor. Catch me up. Say, what's that guy's name again? You know, the guy that's a Profit Doctor? So you got a good handle. You picked a good handle to work with, Fred. Good to have you with
Here,
us. What you got for us today?
You know, I found my formation documents when I first formed a company called the Profit Doctor back in like 2001, and I have referenced back to 1993, so it's been around a long time. So I'm going to keep it short because I know we've got a long segment coming up almost immediately after this. So I did want to talk about servicing because I'm teaching servicing webinars this Wednesday, so in 2 days, and then the following week, so on the 18th and then the following Wednesday. So a couple of things we're going to talk about in servicing. We're going to talk about, well, Dave, did you know that Maxine Waters, you know Maxine Waters, a Democratic representative from California?
Oh, yeah, don't even get me started.
She's introduced a new bill. It's coming to the committee, and it's H.R. 6102, and it's called the Homeowner Mortgage Servicing Fairness Act of 2018. And it talks about how we need to protect homeowners from foreclosure, and you know, while that sounds good on the surface, it basically means people get to stay there forever. So you know, it's not gonna get to the floor. It's probably not. If it did, it's not gonna get passed, and if it did, it's not gonna get signed. So it's a non-event. But it's just a reflection of perspective around servicers. And one of the things that Maxine said is that borrowers don't have a choice about their servicer, so we and as Congress need to protect them. And that's a true statement that customers don't get to pick. So how would you like to run a business? So here's servicing is a business where customers do not get to pick you and the money you collect is not yours. So that's what servicing is. You collect the payments, you send the money to the investors,
great
you pay
point.
The taxes, and you do it millions of times a month. You know, of the top five mortgage servicers, the top big banks, Wells Fargo is the top with $1.5 trillion in mortgage servicing. That's around 5 million loans, 5 million mortgage payments that Wells Fargo processes every single month. Citibank is the smallest of the top five with only $120 billion, roughly 400,000 loans. And we worked with clients who have from starting off up to 400,000 or 500,000 loans, and it's a whirlwind. Every single month, the process has to be done perfectly. No mistakes, because it's just so much activity, and in order for it to be profitable, it has to be done perfect every time. It's even more critical than origination that it be done perfectly because of the consequences that follow. So servicing is really about measurement and management. So management means defining improvement and accountability so that you figure out how it needs to be done and make sure it gets done that way. So servicing is management, measurement, management, and results. And you have to be super, super efficient. So you've got to do it right the first time. So in this webinar, we're going to talk about knowing when to hold it, when to fold them, when to how to hold it and how to measure it. It's just all these pieces. And how do you make an ROI out of it? So we're going to talk about these things. And I know, Dave, you're talking next about digital mortgage in the interview.
Yes.
And while digital mortgage is going to be a cool thing going forward, servicing services 30-year fixed-rate loans, some of which pay the term. Not many, but some do. So currently, there's roughly 15 or 20 million paper notes and paper deeds or mortgages that mortgage servicers are holding. And even if digital mortgage starts today, it's not going to be retroactive. It's going to start today and go forward. So it's going to be 30 years before servicers get rid of paper notes, paper deeds, paper mortgages. So servicing is
going to be highly
paper intensive with scanning of documents, and it's just going to be like it is for a long time to come. So we've got to do it right, do it well, do it right the first time, got to have good training, measurement, and improvement focus. And that's what we're talking about in the webinars coming up.
Good job. I got to sign up again. Listen to you. I've listened to you, and every time I've listened to you, I don't care how many times I listen to one of your webinars, I learn something new. So, folks, go sign up for it. Again, you can find that webinar at the MBA website. Encourage you to check it out. Good job, Andy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Or contact me at Andy at mbs-team.com, and I'll send you the link.
You should contact Andy anyway. Really a smart guy. Appreciate it, Andy. Folks, we're going to be right back with a brief word from our friends at Black Knight, and then we'll be back on, and we're going to be talking about the digital mortgage. Want to learn a little bit about that? Stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this brief break.
Mid-market lenders, credit unions, and regional banks often face time and cost constraints when it comes to implementing new technology. The good news is, you don't have to settle for less than the best when selecting a loan origination system. Black Knight is a leading mortgage technology provider and offers an option to install its state-of-the-art Empower LOS in less than 6 months through its Empower Now program. With shorter timelines and lower implementation costs, you can have Empower up and running quickly so you can begin originating more loans. Empower Now is a faster, more cost-effective implementation approach designed specifically for mid-tier financial institutions. With its configurable workflow and business process automation, Empower scales as your loan volume increases, meaning you don't have to change your LOS as your operations grow. Learn more about this game-changing approach to your LOS at blackknightinc.com.
Out blackknightinc.com. There's some things going on there, and excited to have more guests coming on talking about all that's happening there at Black Knight.
Folks, I'm excited to have joining me on the podcast today the DMA, or the Digital Mortgage Alliance, from TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative. We're going to start off the interview and discussion with Brian Fitzpatrick, who came up with this idea and is also the committee chairman. Brian, good to have you here.
Thank you, Dave. Always great to speak with you.
So how did the Digital Mortgage Alliance get started? What was the vision behind it?
Well, it really started with a conversation with Jim Park at one of the Mortgage Collaborative meetings. And it was something that I've been thinking about for a long time. Integration, unfortunately, stands in the way of return on investment to a lot of systems. It's always the friction in the mix. So as we're talking about digital mortgage and implementing digital mortgage, it's not just one silver bullet system from start to finish. It really is a compilation of a number of different systems. So we saw an opportunity to drive higher value for TMC members by putting together all the different vendors that have their services and technology solutions and actually work proactively to integrate instead of waiting for the customer to have to pay for it or figure out how it's going to work. The idea is that we're all collaborating together, which is the big part of the Mortgage Collaborative, but actually doing so in a technical manner by putting together all of our technology. So when Jim and I were talking, it was really about how we get more collaboration through technology and solving the integration challenge by actually productizing it.
That is really good, and we're going to get Jim on here in just a moment. Joining us on this conference call is Jim Park with TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative. We also have David Caldwell with LendingQB. We have Craig Pollack with Social Survey. We have Greg Colton. And then we also have, of course, Brian Fitzpatrick of LoanLogics. So, Brian, when you're looking at this and our listeners are wanting to learn more about what this is about, I mean, I think it's really important that we get this definition of what a digital mortgage is. So could you give us what that definition is?
It's a great question. And by the way, it's something that we actually all work together to create a standard definition, which you can find at digitalmortgagealliance.net. It really is. Digital mortgage is a loan origination process that is driven by data and automation. It leverages electronically sourced data. So we've seen the evolution now of not just data from the credit provided documents of the borrower, but actually getting to the data from the source, from the actual bank itself through online banking and other documentation that's provided or authorized by the borrower. So it really starts with harvesting data automatically, which is very, very key. And the goal here is as we start to harvest this information, we can then automate processes digitally. So let's decrease the time and cost associated with the end-to-end manufacturing process and create an integrated solution that brings together all of these best-in-class applications, all these different vendors that have come together to work seamlessly, interoperate in a very efficient manner, and leverage technology that includes business process automation, electronic workflow, rules engine. Everybody's been talking about artificial intelligence and machine learning and robotic process automation. All of that is important in order to minimize the requirements of human labor and incorporate all of that in a advanced web and mobile-based user interface. And that's really, as we look at it, it's how do we submit, receive, and execute electronic documents, monitor loan status, and automate the manufacturing process end-to-end. That's really a digital mortgage. And I said a lot because there's a lot there, lot involved.
There is. Which really goes to the next question that it really begs to be asked is, you know, what principles are you operating by to be able to guide you through this? Because there are a number of factors and, you know, there's got to be some guidance there. So what are the principles you're using for guiding the DMA, the Alliance?
Well, that's a great question. What we didn't want to do is sort of set up a organization that wasn't, you know, guided amongst all these organizations as to what is it we're going to accomplish and how are we going to help the lender. So we did come up with 7 guiding principles. You know, the first and foremost is support of clients' interest. So it's all about the lender's interest and making it easy for them. It's also about surveying their needs. We need to gain insight and understand, you know, what their digital mortgage needs are, their wish list, best practices, and share that insight amongst all the participants. Because as you can well imagine, digital mortgage is very confusing. So how do we survey and share? The third is interoperation. So how do we interoperate with each other to come together and make things happen? The fourth is really invest in and support digital mortgage initiatives in advance of customer commitment. That's important because the way things typically work in the industry is we wait for somebody to sign a contract and a check, and then we figure out how to integrate. We're actually turning that upside down, and we're investing in advance, and that's important. And then also, how do we utilize certain data standards like MISMO to improve and to create custom data formats, and then maintain those standard integrations, which is number 6. Let's work to maintain it. Create custom integrations where no standard integration exists. And then lastly, it's all about support of transparency for the entirety of the digital mortgage workflow, application to investor delivery. So a lot there, but these are all the standard and guiding principles that we all have to live by in the DMA.
That's really interesting. But one of the things that, you know, the Mortgage Collaborative is really good about is bringing together all these separate systems and people and companies into a real cohesive way. Brian, I really thanks for that intro and getting us kind of established on what it is. But let's go over to Jim Park. Jim, you know, when you look at what your vision for TMC was originally, how does DMA fit into this?
Yeah, well, thank you for having all of us on the call, David. Appreciate it. And I also want to thank Brian for really kind of spearheading it and actually introducing this idea. You know, when we first started this Mortgage Collaborative 5 years ago, when we were kind of brainstorming this idea, we thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we can bring the lending industry, small, mid-sized lenders, originators, community banks, credit unions together to create best practices, support each other, and really let the members drive the agenda of the organization. And so if you look at things like what we're doing with the Collaboration Lab, which is really taking off. 9 collaboration labs right now going on over a 2-month period with over 50 lenders. We have a benchmark tool that's being used for our members, TMC Direct, and so many other things. But Brian came to me and we were kind of brainstorming at the conference and said, hey, collaboration doesn't mean the members collaborating, but what if the vendor partners could also do the same? Come together and come up with an idea that really helps all of them, all the vendor partners, but also really focuses on the needs of the clients and our members. As you can see from the principles laid out by Brian, it is really focused on kind of the future of this business, but it's also focused sort of in a laser beam-like way on the needs of the client. Many small mid-sized lenders don't have the resources of some of the larger institutions to throw money against these efforts. And so every penny counts. And so when an initiative like this comes along that says, hey, I want to create more transparency, reduce costs of implementation and time, shorten the timeline for getting these things off the ground, that has a real impact. Those kinds of initiatives have a real impact on the bottom line of our members. That's why it's so exciting that Brian and over 20 other vendor partners have decided to tackle this issue. We couldn't have imagined this years back, but I am so excited to see this happening.
What you've created, Jim, at the Mortgage Collaborative is just bringing people together. And this came organically out of a conversation. So much comes out of the conference through these conversations, the more informal times. And so I applaud you for staying open-minded to ideas like what Brian brought forth. So kudos to the leadership within the collaborative for bringing this together. So I'm really interested about that. I really want to get into some of the topics and some of the things you're focusing on, and understanding that this is a long-term process with many moving parts, as you both have said. What does TMC see as a long-term goal or the deliverables to the industry for the Digital Mortgage Alliance?
Ultimately, we have to act. We have to do something. This is not just about creating directories and information, but ultimately it's about action. So at the end of the day, we're going to be measured by whether we reduce costs for our members, lender members, and whether we shorten the time period for implementation in a transparent way. And that's how we're going to measure our long-term goal and success. And that's what we have our eye on right now. And now, there's a long road ahead of us. I mean, there's obviously the cost of investing in these technologies are quite substantial. We're not necessarily seeing the return on that, but we know it has to happen because this is where the industry and the market's going. So I am glad that, you know, Brian and the whole DMA team is looking at creating kind of finite steps to get us there now for the organization.
That's true. Brian, what's your thoughts on this? What are the long-term goals and objectives from the insider?
Hey, listen, my thought about this has to result in cost reductions, accuracy gains, and return on investment at the end of the day. And that's really what it's about. I mean, the cost is at an all-time high in our industry. Profits are at an all-time low. And it is incumbent on us as technology solution providers to really band together to really solve the issue. And that's a very, very key part for us is solving the issue. And there's a lot of great technology companies involved in this. All of them have massive amounts of expertise. And by all of us coming together, we remove the friction and we gain better accuracy of movement of data and better interoperability, which is going to reduce costs in the end and make digital mortgage, the dream of digital mortgage, become a reality.
So why did each of you decide to become a part of the Digital Mortgage Alliance? Let's start with you, David, at LendingQB. You guys are a well-established company. You have a great successful track record. And what intrigued you and your group to get involved?
Oh, that's pretty simple, David. First of all, thanks for having us here. LendingQB, you know, integrations has been our calling card, and we've been successful because of the integrations and partnerships we've built over the years. So for us, being a part of DMA is just an extension of our overall mission. As a matter of fact, we are already integrated with 15 of the 22 members that make up the DMA. So for us, it's really an extension of the way we do business and see this industry.
Did you have those integrations before? How many of those integrations did you have before? Or did those integrations come as a result of DMA?
Well, the interesting part about that is DMA did drive a lot of those integrations, because as we got into the Mortgage Collaborative with these other members, we started building the integrations right in the beginning when DMA was just a concept in Brian's mind. So I would say out of the 15 integrations, more than half of them have been developed as a direct or indirect result of the DMA itself.
Excellent. Craig Pollack, Social Survey. You know, you do a lot at monitoring and helping companies manage their reputation at an enterprise level. What did you see the value of becoming a part of DMA?
Well, you know, it really goes back to the reason that we joined the Mortgage Collaborative. It's to take a very large industry and break it into a bite-sized chunk where we can create relationships. So the DMA does that one more step, because now we're sitting in a room a couple times a month with some of the other vendors that are calling on the same clients, and we're sharing ideas and we're working collaboratively to make the dream of a digital mortgage more likely to take place, less friction. So we want to be a part of it because we've always, as a company, wanted to create relationships with other vendors in our industry.
Yeah, you and the group at Social Survey are such good citizens of the whole landscape of everything going on with automation and technologies.
There are members of the DMA that are critical junction, right? Data goes in, right. Data goes out, and without them, a digital mortgage can't happen. LendingQB is a perfect example of that. We do recognize that we're a terminus. We're an endpoint, right? We might get data from LendingQB, and we might push data into another partner, such as the mortgage coach. But in many cases, we're the endpoint. But it didn't mean that we said, oh, well, it's not worth our time, because it's still part of the entire life cycle. Yeah. And one more thing is that the goal of a digital mortgage is wonderful, but what if it's not making the consumers happier, right?
Yep.
Social Survey is a platform that allows a lender to gauge the satisfaction of their customer. If they are a customer of ours today, and then they launch a digital mortgage, and then they match their scores a year from now, they'll be able to see an uptick or no uptick, and they'll know whether their investments are paying dividends in the end result of customer satisfaction.
I think that's great. Let's get over to Greg at Blend. Blend is just such a well-established brand, and looking forward to hearing your thoughts, Greg, as to why you all got involved in DMA.
Well, thank you, Dave. You know, first, I would say that we're very proud to be part of the Mortgage Collaborative. It's as you noted earlier, it's a fantastic organization, and we're happy to have been invited to the Digital Mortgage Alliance. Its whole aim is to make the mortgage lending process easier for the borrower and more efficient for the lender. And at the end of the day, that is in absolute lockstep with what Blend is all about.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's so clear. There's such a good alignment. You get it so quickly is why you'd be a part of it. You know, what benefit do you or your organizations see from your involvement? And so, Dave, kind of going in the same order, let's go back to you. Well, I should say David Caldwell from LendingQB, so we have that. Everyone listening to this understands that.
There's a ton of Davids on here, so.
Yeah.
Well, really, just to reiterate a point, LendingQB's mantra, you know, our mission is automate, innovate, and integrate. And truly, our emphasis has been on integrate first and foremost. And the DMA provides the perfect framework for LendingQB to achieve our goal. And our goal is really to provide lenders with a new model for their LOS. And we call it the modular LOS, as opposed to the LOS platform where everything is really controlled by one vendor, which may or may not provide the best technology for each of the solution components, if you will. The DMA, in my mind, has taken the best of breed of a number of different vendor partners, all collaborating together to provide the complete digital mortgage experience. And this really is what's so exciting from a LendingQB perspective, is that we can be the LOS hub to power the DMA. And we are honored, excited, and challenged to make sure that we do our part to make sure that the DMA lives up to its mission.
I think that's outstanding. I love to focus a moment on the challenge part. Is it challenge because you see the opportunity and it's the commitment to bring that? Expand on that and the challenge part.
Well, the challenge part today really revolves around the fact that you can collaborate, and we do very effectively with all of our partners from a business standpoint. But one of the challenges is still working together with partners to make sure that we have the most seamless experience to both the lender and the borrower. And that's not always easy. And I'll give you an example of what we're hoping happens down the road. is that there is standard data formats that are used throughout the industry. Surprisingly enough, even though everybody mentions MSMO as a data standard, the payloads and the information that gets pushed back and forth and the frameworks that are being used to push that information still vary dramatically, even within each vendor class. So that's one of our challenges. And the way we're attacking that challenge is LendingQB actually has an entire group called our Integration Success Engineering Team. And all they do is support vendor partners to make sure that we can provide the most seamless experience together to
that's
both
good.
The lender and the borrower.
That's good. Craig, so what is the benefit you see to your organization for your involvement in the DMA?
I think it's just the relationships. One of our core values is create amazing relationships, but we don't specify relationships with customers or relationships with vendors or even relationships with suppliers. So it's just part of an extension of what we want to be as a company. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it may result in no extra business for us, but our investment is just some time, attending some meetings, participating in conversations like this one. Chances are it will help make the digital mortgage a more seamless process, but it certainly can't hurt.
I can totally understand that. Greg, your anticipation for the benefit to your organization?
Yeah, well, by providing a framework, right, for Blend to partner with even more of the best-in-breed providers, it allows us to make the digital point-of-sale adoption process for lenders that much easier. And by working with these fantastic partners within the Mortgage Collaborative, we truly are getting to an end-to-end, off-the-shelf system that has what lenders and customers need today, as well as the underlying technology that's going to make it ready for whatever comes their way tomorrow. We've got all these best-in-breed partners that are at the table, that are willing, according to, you know, the mission that Brian talked about earlier, to start collaborating ahead of time, really, to build that road before it's needed, which is a yep. fantastic framework in which to make progress that will ultimately be to the benefit of all of our lender customers.
As you guys work to gather more, become more aware of each other's products and their service offerings and what you're doing for the industry, that's got to help when we're communicating in your sales effort to your prospective customers. So to Craig's point, you know, I think there will be benefit. I think, Craig, it's great that you are going at this, whether there is or is not a direct benefit to increasing sales, but I think that's great. Let's talk a little bit about what has been created. We've been talking about goals and focusing on the future and what your objectives are, but now let's actually focus on what has been created thus far in the DMA. Brian?
Sure. Well, this has been a real exciting part because in addition to all these companies getting together technically to really work on the actual technical integrations, we've all been working together to come up with lots of different materials to help lenders and the industry, frankly, better understand not only what DMA is about, but what digital mortgage lending is about in particular. So the first thing we came up with, we all agreed on what the 7 guiding principles are, and all of this, again, is available on the website. And then also, there seems to be a lot of confusion about, you know, these different terms that are being thrown around e-mortgage and digital lending and digital mortgage. So we actually came up with a glossary of terms that's been contributed Good. By all the different members that's specific to the elements not only of their offerings that correlate to the digital mortgage experience, but that are so frequently thrown out in the industry. So we can all start to have a kind of common nomenclature around digital mortgage lending. And then we came up with a frequently asked questions section so we can anticipate all of these questions and, quite frankly, confusion in the industry to start to clear up for our members and the lender organizations about e-mortgage basics, the implementations, the around it, the closing side of it, the servicing side of it. So that's a very helpful resource as well. And this was a real collaborative task as well. We came up with a Digital Mortgage Alliance Help Desk. And these are subject Wow. matter experts that are there to answer any digital mortgage-related inquiries that are received through the website. So we sort of are taking turns throughout these various companies to answer these questions. And basically, if there's something you don't see in FAQ or something you don't see on the website, there'll be somebody there, a subject matter expert, to answer your question. And then we worked on an infographic. So how do we take all of these different interoperabilities, these integrations, and make it come alive in an infographic, in a visual way. And that's really what was born of the infographic to all the participants, to see exactly where each one of these participating companies fits in the digital mortgage value chain and what integrations they actually have is the last thing we created, which was not only to say who's integrated to who, but what the integration actually does to provide full transparency around all these relationships. So it didn't have to be a guessing game or, you know, some type of confusing conversation that takes place vendor to vendor. So this is all about being transparent, all about giving our lenders a lot of information, and all of these resources are all available up on the website of digitalmortgagealliance.net.
Yeah, I want to stress that website. We'll put that on the show notes so people can access this. Now, is this only for TMC members to be able to view and look at, or is this available to the industry?
No, it's actually digitalmortgagealliance.net is available to anybody that wants to visit it. You know, this is, although this has been born out of the Mortgage Collaborative, and obviously for its members, it's really open up to the rest of the industry to see,
excellent,
you know, what's happening and use it as a resource.
Excellent. You know, let's go over to you, David Caldwell, and I want you to tell us about how will your involvement in the DMA enhance your current suite of solutions and deliverables for lenders and borrowers?
Thanks, David. Well, for us, involvement in the DMA really enables LendingQB to partner more effectively with other vendors that are part of the loan manufacturing process. And it's important to us because it shows that a network of individual companies can have a common purpose and we can all work together to push the industry forward. But I will tell you the biggest benefit that I've seen that I didn't anticipate was that actually collaborating with these other partners has really helped us from an innovation perspective. Let's face it, the old saying, two heads are better than one. When you get Brian Fitzpatrick's perspectives on certain things and, oh, do you have this or are you working on this or how is this going to work for you? It really has provided a number of new innovation ideas, insights, helped us identify gaps in our product offering. And I actually think for me personally, that has been the biggest benefit of collaborating as part of the DMA.
That's excellent. Great point. Greg?
Yeah, you know, I would echo some of the points that David made. You know, each lender has unique needs, right? And they'll be the first to tell you that. And by partnering with more and more of the lender's current vendor partners, it ultimately makes it that much easier for them to have, you know, from our perspective, a point of sale system that seamlessly integrates with their current systems and processes, or to take it a step further, to find new ones that are even better solutions to the problems that they face, you know, which we hope in turn will enhance the overall appeal of the Blend POS. Yeah, David made a great point, right? I mean, we're working with some of the best vendor partner minds in the industry. You know, we're learning more and more every day about what it's going to take to make a successful end-to-end complete digital mortgage package.
That's excellent. Craig?
You know, one of our core principles has always been that the data that we collect, which is customer feedback, that's the property of the lender. That's their asset. So we never hold that hostage. But what we also do is we're always looking for other ways for them to get that data out where consumers can see it. So for us, look, the partnership with LendingQB, that's critical. That's how we get data in so we know who to survey. But once the consumer completes the survey and they've given a rating and a feedback, a testimonial, we want to share that on as many places as possible. So if we can create a partnership with Blend that allows that to go onto their platform, if I can create a partnership with the mortgage coach or anybody else in the organization, that's going to benefit our customers so that when they say, oh, yeah, I'm using Blend and I'm using Social Survey and I'm using LQB, the answer is a piece of cake. We can take care of everything. It's already done.
It's good. That makes total sense.
One-stop shop. Yeah, one-stop shop.
Yep, I like that. You know, here's what's really interesting about all this. There's been aspects about the digital mortgage that have been around for years. Why is the digital movement picking up so much steam? Let's start with you, Greg.
Well, Dave, I think it really is the confluence of three major factors. The first is the customer expectations are changing, right? They have now been trained by
Apple, by Microsoft, by Amazon, and the like. And as a result, they have a new definition of what is a satisfactory experience. And this is coming along right at a time of shifting industry dynamics that are creating really, you know, for many, what's becoming a dire need for lenders to cut the cost of loan delivery. And fortunately, these two factors are coming along at a time when the third piece is coming into place, which is the state of technology. And it has now evolved to the point where these best-in-breed integrations, they can be delivered now at a much lower cost than it would have cost in years past.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I think that's, you bring up three critical factors that's bringing disruption to many industries. David Caldwell, what do you think?
You know, let's face it, the first group that really made a splash around digital mortgage was the whole Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans.
Oh, yeah.
That was somewhat of a disruptor, but I think it was more a consequence than a cause.
Good
why
point.
We're seeing the interest in the digital. The industry itself, you know, over the many years has begun to converge around data standardization. We're not there yet. And really the overall transformation of a mortgage, to become a more data-centric model. You know, the ingredients have always been there, but I do think that there was two other factors that really helped drive this. Spark of VC investment in many companies, such as Blend, to start that reaction. And then really the whole day one certainty, Fannie and Freddie, really now pushing from a digital mortgage standpoint to basically reward people for being able to provide them with digital driven data from a day one certainty perspective.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's really some good points.
Dave, this is Jim. Can I add just one more thing to that discussion?
Yeah,
a little bit here. I think the stuff that Greg and David talked about are absolutely right. There's been some fundamental market changes. Expectation level at a consumer level is evolving. But also what's happening, I think, is that from a lender perspective, small, mid-sized lenders who traditionally did not have the wherewithal to engage in these things in a broad way, are beginning to spend more and more money on technology and integration than ever before. And I think they want to see the result of their investment. And so I think there is much more focus on why are we spending this money? And why am I spending so much time on integrating all these various different providers? And I think as we look at DMA, and sort of digital mortgage experience, that's really the end goal. They're spending money and they want to see results. And I think what this group is doing is kind of laying out that path. And I think that's why the adoption is going to be great going forward.
That's a great point. Excellent point, Jim. Excellent. Craig, why do you think digital movement is picking up?
I think it is Rocket.
That was the catalyst.
We in the industry were shocked by it, but because they spend so much money on marketing that they've made consumers aware of a different way to do mortgages. Doesn't necessarily mean it's perfect, but that it's different. And so I think consumers are starting to ask for more technology tools. And lenders, mid and small size lenders, I believe that their job should be to give their customers a great lending experience, which means providing them with the right amount of technology. The critical part is what is the right amount? And my theory on that is the answer is each customer has to make that decision for himself or herself.
Yeah.
Some of them want to do everything online and other ones want to do everything offline. And most of them are somewhere along the continuum in between.
Yeah, and I think a part of that is the whole demographics. We're seeing the millennials come in and they're very mobile.
Don't paint the millennials, though, as the ones that always want digital. So much is done online that they actually do want an experience, okay? They would love to go into somebody's office and be given a choice of water, coffee, tea, soda before they sit down with their mortgage advisor and go through the process of taking an application. There is nothing modern or technical about that, but that's part of the experience. Think about what Disney does. The moment you get on their campus, every shrub and every blade of grass is cut and trimmed the way they want it to be to give you an amazing experience. Lenders have to do that. But that also means that at some point, they may have to have some whiz-bang technology that people can use at 2 in the morning in their pajamas.
I think lifestyles are getting to the point. People are, they'd like to meet everybody, but I think it's getting more and more digital. Brian, you certainly have been around the digital movement for a few years and have been involved in it. Love your perspective on this.
Yeah, Dave, my perspective is, look, there's a lot of what I call fintech answers that we just had that are all right. Okay, I agree with all the responses that we just had about improving the customer experience, giving the customer the experience they want when they want it, how they want it. That's all very important, and we need to be able to facilitate that in a fintech environment. But what I'm talking about in the real movement, which is why I think this is moving fast now, is that lenders are suffering. So I'm going to approach this from a RegTech perspective, okay?
Okay.
The cost in the Q1 of 2018, you know, the cost to originate a mortgage is the highest it's ever been recorded, according to MBA Quarterly Mortgage Bankers Performance Report, $8,957. Okay, we're at about 2 loans per production employee per month on underwriting, with extremely thin margins in a very, very competitive marketplace, and productivity is just not keeping pace, quite frankly, with the consumer's expectations. And what do I mean by that? I always refer to those of us old enough to remember Peter Falk and Columbo. Remember that Columbo always had one more question, one more thing.
What?
And we have just the consumer to death with one more question after they think they've already given everything that needs to be done. So look, I think that lenders are suffering, consumers are suffering in the entire experience. And what we're really focused on is how do we interoperate together so that we create the expectations of the consumer of the decisioning process up front that's safe and sound, meets all the regulatory and investor scrutiny, but also makes the borrower's life a lot easier. So we're not keep coming back to them saying, oh, wait a minute, one more thing. We got to get this process streamlined in the middle through RegTech technology and actually produce loans with greater confidence through automated process that's audible, repeatable, and what regulators are demanding at the same time. So we have this confluence of struggles that's not just the borrower's changing expectations, but it's lenders suffering from a cost reduction perspective that they need, and regulators demanding a lot more transparency and safety and soundness. So how does that all come together? That's what we're working on together as all these different companies.
Good.
And that's a RegTech perspective that I think is critical bringing satisfaction to marketplace.
Excellent point. All right, so I think we've got some compelling arguments going that people need to get involved and start developing their digital mortgage strategy. But what are some of the first steps to doing so? David, let's start with you.
Well, you know, digital mortgage truly is the lender has to make a decision that digital mortgage is going to be their business strategy. And then they have to put together what their goals are from both, as Brian pointed out, a productivity improvement, cycle time reduction, and also a cost reduction component. And complementarily or concurrently, they have to look at what is the borrower experience objectives that they're trying to provide. The great thing about if you do it right, if you do digital mortgage as a business strategy and you get the right vendor partners together and you roll out a product, you can actually accomplish both sides of the equation. You can improve the lender productivity and reduce costs while at the same time providing a better consumer experience. But everybody's got to start first and foremost with what are they looking to get out of the digital mortgage as a business model for themselves and from a strategic standpoint, cost reduction standpoint, but also they need to understand what are the objectives that they're trying to achieve from a consumer experience component. And obviously, from our perspective, you know, the LOS, I'm not going to say it's the most important piece of technology, but it is the hub where all the other spokes of the wheel need to interact with.
Yeah, Brian, that's an interesting perspective. Love your thoughts on that. But also, your perspective on what are the first steps?
Well, my perspective on the first step is we need to remove head trash. One of the guys who works for me came up with this term called head trash. You know Craig Riddell, and the way he talks about head trash is that, you know, the mindset needs to change internally before we step towards technology. That's very, very important. We have to be willing not to take a bad, broken process and try to, you know, slam a square peg in a round hole with new technology. We have to be very, very open to leveraging these technologies to actually modify and change the process and the actual interoperability of the people with the technology. So, you know, we refer to it as head trash, and that head trash is, it's never been done that way. We don't do it that way. What I would encourage lenders to do is to step back, and as they begin to talk to technology vendors, start to talk to them about what they're seeing and how things change with their technology, as opposed to trying to jam a bad process that's been broken for years or isn't efficient into a new technology. We got to turn that thinking around and get rid of the head trash.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Really good point. Greg, Blend has been about, you know, first steps, and you guys have been so successful in your early steps of your company. What's your perspective on what a lender should be thinking about in the first steps?
Well, I think David and Brian hit some of them right on the head, right? You have to decide on that strategy, set your goals, and as Brian eloquently put, get rid of the head trash, or kind of open up one's mind to a different approach, right? But I think one piece I would add to that is to get moving. You know, trying to map out the absolutely perfect system is not going to be nearly as beneficial as getting a new POS maybe or an LOS installed and then iterating. One is going to learn so much more in 3 months about what they actually need by living with the system than they will in a year theorizing on a whiteboard, right? Iterate,
right?
I think it's key.
That's a really good point. Excellent. Is there anything that lenders should be asking their technology partners about when it comes to setting up a digital mortgage strategy? Craig?
I mean, the purpose of the DMA is to reduce friction and create connections before the clients ask. You know, if you build it, they will come. So quite honestly, the question is, who do you integrate with and how easy is it and what will it cost me?
Brian?
Yeah, I think that one of the things you have to really focus on from your technology provider is really asking them specifically about how data is being aggregated and moved throughout their systems and process. You know, how is data being validated and verified to be able to be used to automate decisioning throughout the process? Because we have a big problem in this industry with data integrity. And it's all about not just the interoperability of these companies sharing data back and forth, but how is that, where's the data coming from, how is it used, and how do we make the best use of it through rules, through workflow? So I think it's really a lot about checking with their technology partners about how the data is maximized through the process and utilized through workflow and rules processing and integrated to partners.
That's great. Greg, how would you respond?
Well, I think it's three main pieces, right? It's vision, delivery, and results. Functionality and process needs, they're going to change. And I think you want to find someone that you can and want to grow with in the future. You want to make sure that your visions for that future are aligned, kind of like choosing a spouse, right? And then you want to make
sure. That's a good analogy. Yeah. Going to live with it for a long time. Live with this.
That's right.
This for a long time. That's great.
That's right. You're going to be locked arm in arm. So it's an important decision about who that person is and what you see as being right for both of you. And then you want to make sure that they can deliver, because it's not just the technology, right? How a system is implemented, launched, and supported is critical. And it's just as, if not more important than the underlying technology itself. And then third, I would say, is what results are they achieving, right? Because what one thinks they might need from a functionality perspective, it may or may not be what they actually need in order to achieve the desired results. It's really the results that are key in what you need to focus on.
That's a really good point. David, your response?
Yeah, I'll make it brief. In the essence of time, I actually echo both what Brian and Greg both said. But I want to reiterate one of Greg's points. The bottom line is, if I'm looking for technology partners to implement my digital strategy, I want to see some case studies. And that's something that we are working on at the Digital Mortgage Alliance, since we already have customers that are using at least a portion of all of the collaboration DMA members' services, is to build those case studies. I want to know that that this is actually doable. And I like the last thing I'll say is too often, I wrote an article called Shiny Object Distraction Syndrome when you're evaluating
That's funny.
When you're evaluating an LOS. And too often, yeah. And I myself have been guilty, I was a lender.
Me too.
Too often we focus on features and functionality as opposed to the overall solution and the impact. I want to see some case studies. So that's good. Be my net.
That's good. Hey, Jim, when you look, we wrap this up. What is the DMA working on next?
You know, Dave actually gave a little preview of it. One of the things that we are working on for the upcoming conference is to showcase the integration that's already taking place. And we want to show the way. So we're going to bring together DMA members and how they have actually integrated together and how that has helped our members. Obviously, some of it is future state, right? Because some of the integration happened previously, organically. But going forward, we will show what the benefit of timeline compression is, price reduction will be, and so that people can actually touch and feel what that future state looks like. And I think that's what's important that we do, because otherwise people have too many things going on. If we can't demonstrate real value, people aren't going to launch into this. So I think that's why we're doing it. As a wrap up, I would also just say this. This is a very unique environment. You know, we have 100 and about
so
40
true.
Members, lender members. We have a little bit less than 60 vendor partners in this, the Mortgage Collaborative. It's a very unique ecosystem, and it's one of the culture that we try to build is around this collaboration and support. And this kind of stuff doesn't happen very often. The DMA or other things that are happening in the organization do not happen often enough in this industry where we view each other as competitors, not as someone who's trying to move the ball forward together. That's why I'm so excited about this, because it's homegrown, it's from the ground up, and I think it has a potential of really helping the cost of being in this business. But that's why I'm so excited about it, and I'm really thankful for every one of these vendor partners, as well as nearly 20 others that are involved in this DMA, for making this real today already.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, kudos to you, Jim, for creating the TMC and then creating an environment where these kind of things can come out. I mean, the collabs, we haven't even gotten to talking about the collabs, what's going on there. That's where all the lenders are getting together and collaboratively working on best practice. I think there's just so many good things going on there at TMC. Brian, you're the chairman, so let's let you wrap this up. What are the takeaways our listeners should have from our discussion today?
I think, look, the big takeaways here is that this is a very, very committed group of vendors that are really interested in providing great value and helping lenders to reduce cost and avoid confusion, reduce friction. These are amazing technology partners, and quite frankly, this should be a model across our entire industry. So the takeaways
yes.
are, you know, visit digitalmortgagealliance.net for education. You don't have to be a member of TMC, although I would recommend you do.
Yep.
It's a great organization with lots and lots of innovation, you know, coming out. And most important, what this was founded for, what TMC was founded for, and also Digital Mortgage Alliance, is collaboration, because we're all in this together. We all want our lenders, our customers to succeed, which helps us all succeed as a collaborative and helps us all to succeed as individual vendor solution providers.
Kudos to you all for what you're doing. I want to thank all of you for being here, being a part of it. Again, Jim, thank you so much for opening the door, creating the environment within TMC for this to happen. Thank you, Brian, for the leadership you're bringing and then the collaborative effort of everyone on this call. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
I thought that was a good interview. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Get a hold of us. By all means, try to check out what they're doing at their website. The good news is the Mortgage Collaborative is a great place to be, meeting industry leaders. And now there's even one more reason to become a part of the Mortgage Collaborative. And they have their summer conference coming up. I had the website up here. I believe it's the 19th of August. And you'll want to check it out.
Appreciate the opportunity to have you all here with us today. I'm very excited about the podcast and the upcoming guests. We've got Renee Rodriguez going to be our guest next week. And then also we've got Black Knight back on with some things that they're doing. I'm very excited about having them back on, as we're going to have the CEO of Heavy Water, of a company which Black Knight just bought. It's an artificial intelligence company. We're going to get some insights into what they're doing in upcoming broadcasts. So be sure to go to our website, lookingonlending.com, and see about all the future guests. Appreciate you being here. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.